地区代表冇。
Good afternoon, Dave. KO4HKX.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
It's a beautiful day out here. A beautiful Sunday. Blue skies, no clouds, sun out. Nice day.
Fun flying?
Unfortunately not. I wish I was. Because it doesn't look like it's too windy out here at all. The trees and everything look like they're behaving themselves, doing well.
Beautiful day, that's for sure. Coming down the mountain now.
Hey.
Roger that.
Oh, I'm headed your way. We're going to cross paths, maybe.
All right. You heading up 25?
A little bit, and then 276 over towards Caesar's Head.
Repeater sight?
Yeah, it's got itself messed up. Got to look at it. Got to take some pictures of it.
Hey, quick question about that, flying a drone. If I wanted to get one, isn't there some kind of a license I got to have to do that? Just wanted to do it for my own stuff, nothing. I'm not making any money with it.
It requires everybody that puts anything in the sky to have a pilot's license, period. End of story. There are different kinds of pilot's license. You do have to get registered with the FAA so that they know that you're going to fly, even if you fly in your own backyard. So that's one. And then you have to have this safety test done. You have to do a safety test, and you have to pass it. So that's a little bit of studying, but it's nowhere near as difficult as a ham radio license. That's two. And then the third one is normally they, well, for your own safety, you need to have insurance. And if you join the Academy of Model Aeronautics, AMA, that's kind of like for ham radio joining the ARRL. They're kind of like a parallel group. But they supply you with insurance as long as you follow the safety rules. So that's the third thing, third license you got to have, all right? So three things, one, FAA registration, two, safety certification, three, insurance.
And then if you want to get monetized, like if you want to do YouTube videos, there's something else for that too, isn't there?
Yes, that's the part 107. That's where you go from a hobbyist to a commercial flyer. And, yeah, that's called their Part 107. They have parts just like we do, just like we have Part 97 with the FCC. You've got Part 107 for the FAA. And you become an airman when you do that, and you get all the NOTAMs, the messages that tell about who can fly where, when. Like if the president's flying into the location, nobody else can fly, right? And you're notified. You're grounded today because the president's flying in. Stuff like that. Bad weather approaching, all that kind of stuff.
I'm just wondering if it was something that I was interested in.
Easy as it used to be. It used to be you just got your AMA insurance in case you cracked up into somebody's windshield of their car. And you were done, but not anymore. Now the FAA is involved, and it's a lot more difficult than it used to be. I had to come back to when I was talking to you. I remembered I forgot my card to get in up there. I can't get in without my card, so I had to come back home and get my card. I'll jump out of the car, and I'll be back in a minute. That'd be 4DJW.
Roger that. I'll be around. KO4HKX.
And Gerald TR. Good. Let me see. Afternoon.
Good to hear you, Mr. Tom. Hope you and Miss Bernice are having a wonderful day.
We haven't done a whole lot. Ooh, there goes a new Corvette, mid-engine. Wow. That guy's got more money and he's got brains, but I'll have to admit, it is beautiful. Oh, we're headed down to the kids to take them some eggs. The hens are finally laying now on both sides of the chicken pen. And just visited a little bit with the neighbors and... That's about the size of it right now, Patrick.
Thing to do on Sunday is go visit family.
Sounds like it'd be a real pain in the rear to get all them licenses for for doing that. I just wonder how many really do just go buy a drone and then do what they want and the heck with it. I don't know if they get away with it or not.
I get away with it once or twice, but I'm sure they know who you are and what you're doing. And I don't know, the safest way to do that is you can't buy the stuff without having the license. And, you know, it may be the same thing with radio and ham license. You can't purchase the equipment without it.
On sale at Sam's and Costco's and all that all the time, up to about $1,000. Are those under those restrictions too?
Understanding, Tom, and that's kind of what I was asking Dave, is just kind of get a feel if it's something that I even want to mess with. But he said that if you put anything in the sky, you have to have that pilot's license through the FAA. So that would be my guess.
I have no doubt about that if Dave said it. And, you know, back years ago, I flew in one of those paragliders, double with a guy, several times, and I really loved it, but I couldn't afford one. And those were about 20 grand, but they had them as cheap as five, and I still couldn't afford that. But you didn't have to have anything, and then now you have to have a sports license for it. And from what I've read, and I'm not going to buy one anyways at my age, but people say that it's as difficult to get as a private pilot's license. In other words, you need the training for it before you're able. 200 of them up out in this big field down by Columbus, Kansas, where they made the paragliders. They didn't get that many up, but they got a lot of them up. It was quite a sight to see.
Hey, that's something I have no interest in doing, Tom. Just not for me.
It's like riding in a rocking chair. I did have two little mishaps, though. One guy come down and got about 4 foot above the ground, and the wind just stopped. We lost any lift, and we fell about 4 feet. It had fiberglass struts that were like one-inch diameter dowel pins, and it broke them all. That kind of smarted. It didn't hurt us bad, but it, you know, I felt it. And then another time we come in and landed, and I used to land on aircraft carriers for a little while, and they'd holler bolter when you'd miss the cables. So when we come in and landed, we bounced about, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet in the air. And I thought, this ain't got the horsepower to go around. And we had helmets on where we could talk to each other. I said, bolter, bolter. It was just automatic with me. He asked me later, he said, what's a bolter? I said, you just had one. But, you know, he gunned that thing, and we just went right on around and come back and landed on the second shot.
I'm grateful that you had a second chance there. Always good to have those.
You jump in there, Dave. I was just chatting with Patrick for a minute.
Gotta get gas. I am unprepared for this trip. Anyway, you guys carry on. I'll get gas. I'll be back. W4DJW.
Just that flying thing, that's just not for me. I enjoyed the flights that I've been on, the acceleration and that part of it and the flying. I have no desire to be herded like cattle and shipped like a sardine anymore, so it's out of the question. Y'all can have it. Now, single engine, that kind of flying, I might enjoy that, whereas just a smaller group of people, but flying commercially, I'm done with it.
You got Bernice and me both laughing there. Shipped like a sardine. Well, I'll tell you, I flew in a small one with just four of us when I was on the carrier, and then later on in the big ones where you were back in a tube, and there was 13 of us on the P3s. But, you know, they don't get jostled around near as much as those little ones. And I flew in a Sirius down here at the Greenville downtown airport. When I was older, the daughter bought me a free ride in one, and for my birthday or something. And I got to tell you, it's more like the wind has got you than you got the wind. And I went up over Wichita, Kansas one time in a 152, and I always thought I wanted a pilot's license, but out in Kansas, you got a lot of wind that buffeted you around, and it was though the wind had us, and we didn't have the wind. And basically, you're just boring holes in the sky, and it's very much a rich man's hobby now, Patrick, what you could buy a plane for $20,000 or $30,000 20 years ago now cost you $60,000 to $100,000, and then you got to do regular upgrades, you know, keep your engine checked and major overhauls, and then you got to add avionics now. You got to have ADS-B to fly into these areas like around Greenville, and it's a rich man's hobby, so I can do without it. I enjoyed it, but I would not even, well, I wouldn't be eligible to pursue it now because of my health, but no, I'm not going to pay that much money to bore holes in the sky in zero TR.
For HKX, yeah, I'm with you, and it seems like everything is getting to be kind of that way, every hobby. No matter what it is, it's tending to get very, very expensive anymore.
And I got a friend down here that's got a plane. He's got a 210, I think it is. Anyways, it's a real nice Cessna. And I was sitting at the table one night at Oktoberfest at my daughter's, and he walked in, and the fella at the table asked him how much he had in that, and he said about $250,000. And it's basically, I think, a six passenger plane, about like a 172, or only a little fancier, but it's all glass cockpit now, and he had to add all the avionics on it for around here. And so we went from, I think, $180,000 to $250,000 real quick by the time he got done with it and it was ready to fly.
It's definitely beyond my reach, let's put it that way, and not something that I myself obtaining the ability to do.
Diesel fuel is. Well, aviation fuel is going to be a little more because it's basically diesel. And they guzzle gas at a whole lot faster rate than a car does. And a small plane just don't have that big a range. And then if you're really going to do anything that would really be substantial, you'd need to go from a VFR rating to an IFR rating for instruments. And that costs you a ton of money. Every time you pay to go up there and bore holes in the sky again with a mask over your face there, basically a bill, kind of like a big cap, and land it in instrument situations. And then they prefer you land the smaller ones at the regional airports rather than the big ones because of the large air traffic and that. Now, there's a lot of downsides to it, but it'd be a whole lot of fun if you was very well off and could afford it. But, and it takes a lot of studying, too, of course. But I've just decided that's just not the way to go. The grandson was thinking about it the other day, but I told my daughter, I said, no, I don't think so, Mrs. NZRLTR.
I was just asking about the drones, possibly flying one of them. But if it's going to be too much headache, I just won't find it's worth it to me for just recreational flying. It just may not be worth it for my situation.
Maybe it wouldn't amount to anything, but I haven't flown it that much. But I think it was Chad said that he tried one the other day, and I think he had one flight, and that was the last time you seen that drone. That gets a little expensive, too. Those NZLTR.
It'll be expensive, too. But, Tom, I have arrived at my destination for now, so I'm going to say 7-3. You and Miss Bernice have a good visit with your daughter, and hope you enjoy it and stay safe. KO4 HGX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
Hope I didn't bore you there, but I don't know. It would be a nice hobby, I can say that. But I don't know if the end justifies the means there, but if you're going to do it commercially, probably so. But I'd say there's a lot of competition out there now, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry's got one. 73's Patrick, KL4HKX, N0LTR, 73.
W Mobile.
Where are you headed out to fly, N0LTR? Oh, I'd like to go out there someday, just to see it. Never been up to the tower up there.
What trip? To go up there, evidently that storm did some damage. We're just going to go up there and assess the damage and maybe secure it till we can go back up there and do it the right way.
Glad to hear that. If I can be of any help, well, holler. I don't know what it'd mean with my health, but there's other ways to help. Probably blew some antennas loose, I guess. That was blowing sheets of rain down around my house, I'll tell you.
She likes storms, but that one she did not like. I asked her, I said, well, what's the difference between this one and all the other ones? She said, this one could send a tree through my house.
Some of them did. I always tell people we left Toto and Dorothy in Kansas, and we had to go through that every year. There was never a year that... Can you ever remember one that we didn't have tornado warnings?
I did.
Hi, Bernice. Hope you're doing well.
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, it was... The ones that were the most scary was the ones at night, because you just could not tell where they were coming from. Now, I've seen a couple at night when the lightning would go, but they were at a distance, thankfully. Some of them within, four or five blocks of the house, I guess you'd say, but they didn't come down. They just was a little nubbin sticking down.
It's in Tennessee for a while. My dad grew up there mostly before he moved up to Michigan. And he said, when you get nervous is when you hear the freight train and there's no tracks, but you hear the train.
I'm not close to one, but I remember kneeling down, looking out the back screen door when everybody else was taking cover and praying to the good Lord that my tower didn't fall over at 70-mile-an-hour winds.
KA5WLF. Recognizing Leroy. Well, they used to have pictures, Tom, where it would like zigzag up and down the road, and it'd take out like every other house. So your house might not be touched at all, and somebody else's house is completely demolished. And they had pictures that my grandfather and my uncle both went through them, and they both had metal parts in their body holding them together after each one of them. They were devastating. I'm glad that my dad moved out of there.
You mean, Tom, you was talking about tornadoes. Growing up in Oklahoma, same thing. We had tornado warnings every year, especially during this part of the year and then until July or so. But seeing them at night is the worst part. The only way you see them, really, is when the lightning strikes. But, yeah, that's kind of eerie seeing them then. Chased many of them on the Skywarn team when we used to sit out west of town watching for them. Anyways, I'm going to just make one quick comment. But, Dave, I'm not going to go up there at this point. It sounds like Gary's probably going to be on his way with y'all. If you do need me, though, give me a holler. But, like I said, it'd take a while to get there.
I think we can take care of it. We're not going to try to address everything. We're just going to do the analysis and maybe secure some stuff, Leroy, so I think we'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and finish up your work.
Just
anyways, I'll get out of here. We're getting ready to do lunch, so y'all take care. Be safe up there, and we'll say 7-3 for now. But I'll be monitoring on the radio if you need me. KA5WL Upler. Have a good day, Thomas. Mr. Bernice.
Thank you, Leroy. Jump in there anytime. Glad to hear you. Yeah, Dave, my mama was out one day, and they live next door to us, and she says, "Now, that looks like a tornado cloud." And she was on our side of the house, and so I said, "No, Mom, there's no rotation there." So we went back in the house, and I went over to their house, and I kept hearing these reports, so I walked outside, and I went back and got my mom. And I said, "Now, this is what you're looking for, Mom, is the rotation." And about that time, well, come out of the cloud, and it was just down and out, you know, like you look at it, it looks like 4 or 5 feet sticking down out of the cloud, but it didn't come down. So I went and went out in the front yard, and I told Shelley to grab my camera. And I didn't realize that I was taking some industrial pictures at the time. I had cranked that camera 4 or 5 pictures up. So we watched for it till it come over the railroad yards, and then it come out into the open. And it was just almost like, you know, and I didn't have any film in the camera, Dave, and didn't realize it because it was on number 5, and I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and shoot a few, and wasn't a very good view anyways. And when that tornado got up the north yards of the railroad, which is about 5 miles north of us, it come down just like a magnet on a trailer park. Can you believe that one?
I'm up quick. My father used to tell about my grandfather's experience. He said they were all sitting in the house, and he went and looked at the window, and then he turned around and shouted at everybody, "Everybody in the basement now, in the basement now." And they started single filing down to the basement, and they weren't going fast enough. He was the last one down the stairs. He put his hands on the handrails, lifted his feet up, put him on my uncle's back, and shoved him down into the basement. And when he shoved him down in the basement, they all made it in the basement, but he went up with the house when the house got lifted up off its foundation. And it carried him up a ways. They didn't say how high, but he said when he came back down, he landed on one leg. And, you know, everything's going in slow motion. I know how that is. I've been in a car wreck like that. And he thought to himself, "Well, I got one good leg left," because it just shattered that leg when he landed on it. And then it hit the other leg, and it shattered that one. And he didn't lose his legs, but his legs didn't serve very much purpose after that. But yeah, I can believe it. There's quite a few stories in my family's history about tornadoes and things like that happen quickly. It's like you don't have time. You got to be ready for it when it happens, and you got to take action fast.
So Bernice and I flew back to Kansas, and when the Joplin tornado happened in 2011, wasn't it, Maurice, or something like that? And it killed, 160 people or so. But, Dave, you could stand there, and there was a swath 3/4 mile wide and 6 miles long. And they had about 15 minutes warning. But the St. John's Big Heart Center, it was just devastated, and 4 people there died because it took out the auxiliary generators. They were in the ICU and depended on oxygen, or well, on life support. And then Home Depot, it was just gone. There was all there was a slab left. But George and Betty, her sister and my brother-in-law, and that they took us down there. And they were just hauling out those big trucks like these Strange Brothers trucks are here, just truck after truck after truck. But, you know, there wasn't nothing left. I mean, a lot of places there was no grass, there was no bark on the trees. It was just unbelievable. And it's just something you'll never forget. And we've seen 3 like that were F4s or F5s. And it's just unimaginable. But either side of that, the city was just as normal as could be. But just that swath was going right through the center of the city.
We have a lot to be thankful here for where we live now. So one of the things my dad used to say is, it's a secret, this is the best place on earth to live, because we don't get the hurricanes that come in from the coast. We don't get the tornadoes that come across the middle of the country. We don't get the floods that they get like out in Mississippi, around the Mississippi River. It's like we don't get the heat they do in southern California or southern Florida. We don't get the snow and ice that they get up north. I mean, this is like the perfect spot to be right here.
Yeah, I'd have never moved if it hadn't been for Amy, and we've been here 13 years, and you hit it on the head. Everything you said's right. And I got a picture from Shelley yesterday, and they had 9 inches of snow in Detroit. And, you know, Detroit's kind of down the south end there, out on the thumb of the thing right near Canada. And they usually don't get tremendous amounts like the Northern Peninsula, but oh my, I always think of your friend up there, and what's he in, South Dakota or North Dakota? I heard something about it this morning. It wasn't good.
Yeah, they had 6-foot snowdrifts up on the side of the house. I remember those days living up there in Michigan and Indiana both. I remember walking up to the house, and you could dig you a little path right there in the snowdrift and go along the side of the house, and nobody would even know you're there. They wouldn't even see the it's so blindingly white, nobody would even see the entrance that you dug to go in. But it was fun like that, but it was also really, really cold. You wanted to stay out in it, but you didn't realize the longer you stayed out in it, the colder it got. And then when you come back in, it'd be like somebody's biting the tips of your fingers off. It just hurt. Very, very painful.
Yeah, when I was 14, I delivered 135 papers about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning on a Cushman Eagle in Kansas. And that got old real quick, you know, when you had storms or snowstorms. And I remember coming out of the front yard one morning. You folded your papers back then. You didn't roll them. I had them all folded, 135 of them in that sack, and they kind of made a kind of a U over that teardrop tank. And so I pulled the scooter right up to the front porch, and I started out, and the scooter fell over on me, and my papers went all over the front yard. Well, I was so mad. It's just unbelievable. So I got up, restacked them all, got back on the scooter. It was dark now, mind you, and it snowed the day before, and there was ruts and stuff. And I thought, well, it was just a rut. And I started out the front yard, and I made it to the street, and the scooter fell over on me. Can you guess what it was? It was a flat tire on one of them big boom tires, and I didn't see it. And it just rolled over.
W4DJW, Greg,
eh? I'll let you know I'm headed up that way, and when I get up closer, I'll give you a holler so I can get in the gate.
All right. Well, hopefully you got less distance to travel than me, and we'll meet up there right about the same time. If I get there before you, I'll wait on you. If you get there before me, likewise.
Well, I'm just have left the house good. I'm not on White Horse Road yet, so I'll be running right straight up through there and up through Traveler's Crest.
There, when you get there. And Landon's already up there, I think. So we should be good. I hope you got something warm. The wind is blowing, and it's kind of cool.
I have a jacket in the truck here, but I don't think, well, I probably need it up there, but I think it'll be enough.
KG4WNP.
Hey, Landon, is it cold up there?
It's cool, but it's bright and sunny. You guys will be on the ground. You won't have nothing to worry about.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Is the wind blowing?
A little bit, but you're on the ground behind the trees. It's not too bad. It's be different higher up, obviously.
Good to run a multi-rotor up there and take pictures?
So you're got maybe a 6 mile an hour breeze, and it's not sustained.
All right, good enough. Well, we'll be there in a little bit.
Copy that. KG4 WMP.
Guys, you got business to attend to, and involving the repeater, I might add. We just pulled in the drive here, but yeah, Dave, that was a little disheartening. I had to wake up my mom and have her take me on the paper route, and then she had to go ahead and work in the old grocery store that we owned at the time. She wasn't very happy with that, I don't think, but in the snow and ice on the road, it refrozen. Anyways, I have to laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny then. Jerry, nice to hear you. And Landon, you too. I don't know you, but good morning, good afternoon. Dave, I'll catch you down the line when 73's got to get in here and deliver these eggs. And before DJW and 0TR clear.
Have a good rest of your day. Enjoy it. Take it easy. It's a pretty day. W4DJW Mobile.
See you later. Talk to you in just a little while. You and Miss Bernice have a great afternoon. We'll talk at you later. 73. N0TR, KF4DOS Mobile.
Come in. Do you come in where 276 and 11 merge for a little ways, or do you come up from the Pumpkin Town side?
Well, I'll get on 276 right there at Traveler's Rest, so it'll come on up where 11 and 276 run together for a little bit.
I just now got on that section where they're merged into one. That gives you an idea where I am.
Probably a good 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes behind you. I'm just now getting on Whitehorse Road. Johnny called, and after I got through talking to him, I went on out and got in the truck and was gonna head that way.
I can go in rather than sit there for 30 minutes. I could get there and probably get the pictures, or at least get the GPS to get satellites while I'm waiting. I'll get that set up. And then when I'll have my handheld on my side, so when you get there, holler before you get there, so by the time you get there, I'll have time to get there.
I know there's a big rock on the right-hand side where you turn in up there. And you're just cresting a hill. Do you remember the name of the place?
United Community, when you're going up to the top, and it's right before you get to the ranger station up there, or the whatever they call that place where you look out over Caesar's Head. It's like a mile before that, and it's the only gated community. You're almost at the top. So it's not like you've got many choices.
Not where I was thinking it was, but it's been a while since I've been up there. I guess the last time I was up there is when the antenna was raised up to the 450-foot mark.
It's been a few years. it requires a lot of maintenance.
Well, I'll be up there in just a little bit. I'm, like I said, I'm on Whitehorse Road. I'm in Berea, headed that way. And I'll holler at you on the radio when I get up there.
Sure is nice where they paved 25 and 11, or 276 and 11, where they run together. It sure is nice compared to what it used to be. Enjoy the ride, W4DJW Mobile.
We'll be up there just a little bit. And Landon, sit back and relax for a few minutes. We'll be up there shortly. Have a great afternoon. KG4WMB and W4DJW, KI4DOS Mobile.
I've got plenty of things to do. No shortage there. I got a lot of things to get ready. But yeah, Dave, you'll be well ahead of him, so do please come on in and see if we can't get to look at it.
Looked up there lately, Landon?
We'll cut down.
The time I was up there, it was over your waist deep.
Yeah, it's cut, and of course, it's technically still wintertime, so it's not like stuff's been growing much. But it's in good shape. 54WMP.
Approaching the base of the mountain, so I should be there shortly. W4DJW Mobile.
Haven't been up through that area in a long time. I need to go up there and see what they've done to the road. Well overdue for a tour of that area.
It was getting pretty rough. I don't know when the last time you came through there was, but it was a typical South Carolina road made of potholes. It was bad. And now it's like the interstate, but it's only two lanes wide. I mean, even the lines are bright yellow and bright white.
We'll do periodic, every few years, I guess, to the whole Highway 11 thing from end to end, and haven't done it in several years now, so yeah, overdue for that. And yeah, last time I was on the y'all's end of it, it was getting pretty rough there, right there at the interstate.
Where the waterfalls are is really, really popular. It is packed out. There's cars parked up and down 11, and they're walking, they're hiking back to the waterfall. That is a popular spot.
I've heard y'all mention before about getting that kind of do the camping and hiking thing too, so I imagine it is getting pretty crowded today.
How many people like to go to the mountains? There's quite a few people. It's very popular.
So that I was never much of a beach person, and I lived in Bayou Country in coastal Georgia, so that really never appealed to me anyway. So when we moved up here, we immediately fell in love with it, along with the weather conditions that you were referring to earlier.
A kid, I spent a lot of time up in this area on dune buggies, jeeps, motorcycles, Mustangs and Trans Ams. It didn't matter what I had. I was always spending time up here. And then after, you know, life took over and I got busy making a living, all of that came to an end. And now I get to come up here more often, and it just brings back good old memories.
We got started doing that. My brother was stationed in Norfolk in the Navy, and every time he'd get time off on the weekend, he would come out, and we did started out doing all the hiking trails, and it kind of morphed into waterfall hunting. So that's how we kind of wrapped up his stint in the Navy. Was he'd come out here, and we'd take off to Northern Greenville up in western North Carolina and over in this area and over into Georgia doing waterfall hunts.
Same thing we used to do. We'd get lost up here and not have a map, not even bring a map. Who cares? Who needs a map? Right? We look at where the sun is and know that we are northwest of where we needed to be when it was time to go back home. So just, you know, go in the direction of the sun, and eventually you'll see something that you recognize, and you'll be able to get back home. And I tell you what, sometimes our gas level got pretty low before we made it back to civilization. I was nervous a few times, but it was fun in the end. But I was nervous a few times we were going to run out of gas and not have a clue where we were. You know, there was no GPSs or anything like that back then.
I could have mentioned we were doing all that without GPS, and yeah, you'd have the clinching moments like that, and one of the best things we would ever run across is a forestry road. You know, when you hit one of the gravel forestry roads, okay, this goes somewhere.
We did get on some gravel roads at some point. You know, the sun was over that way, and we needed to go that way, and there was a gravel road going that way, so we took the gravel route. There's a lot of times I was thinking this is a bad choice.
We were hitting one up in northern Oconee. I think it was up, like, around the fish hatchery or something. And, you know, it was just kind of cruising along. We wasn't lost. Well, we were kind of lost, but not sweating it or anything, and come out over in Georgia over there.
I've been in Georgia a few times, too. Sometimes in Tennessee, there's no telling. Sometimes when you finally made it back to civilization, it took a tank of gas to get you back home.
Yeah, enjoyed those times, and kind of like you, when I get the time, like to go over there and do not the epic hikes that we used to do, but still revisit some of them and revisit the old memories. I wanted to ask you, have you tried that 6-meter repeater that the gentleman was talking about?
Last night, It worked good. I was horizontally polarized on a mystery antenna because it tunes up on 6 meters. So I was on horizontally polarized long wire antenna, and I was able to talk to him with no problem. He was there. He was somewhere in the mobile going somewhere. So I was able to talk to him no problem on it. Now, I had to take apart my APER station to do that because it just happened to be close to the mystery antenna's coax, and that radio would do 6 meter FM. So I took it apart, talked to him for about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, and then put my APER station back together. But it works. It works good, too.
I heard you say something about putting the APER station back together last night. I was wondering what that's about. But, yeah, next time, and this goes out to Gary, too, KF4DOS. Next time one of y'all get on there, give me a holler here, and I want to see if I can hit it. I've listened a couple of times, but have not heard anything yet.
What a tone, because, and it does discriminate on what kind of tone it likes. I've got an ICOM 7000, and you can, when you're going through the tone selection types, it goes tone, which is spelled T-O-N-E. It goes T-Squelch, T-S-Q-L. It goes DCS, and then nothing. So you got those four options. The only one it'd work on is when it was on tone. So T-Squelch didn't help it at all. But tone, and set it to 100. The tone 100, and it works.
I'm using a 7300, and I have the 100 set on, 100 set on the transmit, correct?
That's correct. And the downshift, or the shift, is atypical, right? The shift that ICOM thinks is typical for that frequency is a half a megahertz, and it's a megahertz. So you're going from 53.63 to 52.63. So it's the whole, it's a whole quarter of the band that you're shifting down, not a half a quarter.
Right decision on setting it up then, because when I set it up, I couldn't remember how to do the repeater offset, so I just set it up in split mode and put the 100 on the transmit side, and so it's just carrier squelch on the output, right?
You can do anything for the output to be able to hear it. No, to be able to get audio, you can bring it up without the tone, but you can't get any audio through it.
I did notice when I was keying up, it is switching frequencies, and I see the tone come on when it switches the transmit frequency. So, yeah, I hadn't listened a lot, just a few minutes at a time, and just hadn't heard anybody that particular time, so I was wanting to see if I could hear it and, you know, maybe get to it.
What antenna are you using?
To be a down to 6 meter dipole. It seems to work, but I don't know if I'm hearing good overall.
Sideways, or is it vertical or horizontal?
Horizontal, coming off of the like a mast on the chimney and going down to it's basically an inverted V configuration.
Gotcha. Because his is on an omnidirectional vertical. He's vertically polarized, omnidirectional. And if you're anything but vertically polarized, you're going to lose a lot of gain.
Why I was wanting to test out, see if I can actually hear anybody or not, and see if I can get back into it.
When I was able to get into it is because I'm only 2 miles away from Paris Mountain at that point, from the top of Paris Mountain, and it's clear line of sight. There's nothing in between me. But I could tell his audio was way down on me because of my polarization, and my audio was most likely way down on him because of polarization.
Mentioned building a 6 meter J-pole. I may look at doing something like that. I've got the HF antenna on the 7300. I don't have anything on the 857. I just got the 2 meter 440 on the 857, so and with it having a separate jack, I could attach a J pole to the other port and maybe get it that way.
This morning, I looked out at various drawings on 6 meter J poles. And a 6 meter J pole is a big antenna. It's 4 meters, 4 meters and 100 millimeters, or 4 meters and 10 centimeters. It's a pretty tall antenna. But if you put it outside and you pull it up, you know, to the top of a tree, then that's good because it's got a lot of wire in the sky. But it's not like your typical J pole. This J pole is probably two times your body length.
About that last night, I didn't look up the diagrams or didn't do any math to see how long it would be, but I assumed it would be three times longer than a 2 meter anyway.
Well, that's true. with the tuning that they have on them, the ones that I saw, they're like 5.7 meters. They're not exactly 6 meters, but that's tall. That's a lot of antenna for a vertical.
A lot of wind drag sticking straight up in the air. Probably wouldn't take much to take that down.
W4DJW. That's why I would pull it up. Pull up a 450 ohm ladder line J pole. Well, I'm here at the entrance, so I gotta open the gate. Be back in a minute. W4DJW.
Oh, THY, stand by.
Still works. made it through the gate.
That's my community gate.
The tower site is enclosed in an enclosed community.
Didn't inactivate that rogue card that they're not sure what it is.
It's absolutely true. It still works. I'm amazed every time I come up here and it still works.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. If any of y'all are on the 6 meter repeater, give me a holler over here so I can try to listen out for you. I bought one of the mystery antennas from the Wireman, but I've not got it up here yet.
And it was working decent, but only because I was so close to it, and there's nothing in between me and it. That's why I was hunting a different 6 meter solution. I don't think I've ever had a 6 meter Yagi, but that's what you need, I think, is a 450 ohm 6 meter ladder line J pole.
A lot easier to do than the trying to get copper pipe that long and have it stable.
I am about to pull into the site, so I'm going to let you go because I'm going to overload the front end of the repeater most likely. It looks like they got the road blocked off. I have to figure out how Landon got in.
To the right, you can get by, no problem. KG4WMP.
I see that now. Now that I got closer, I was starting to panic.
Have a good one, and hope y'all can get stuff diagnosed up there, and we'll talk at you later. W4DJW, KF4CHY, clear and listen.
Later, I enjoyed it. W4DJW, clear.
CHY, KF4DOS. There you go, right ahead. Most of the 6 meter J poles that I have seen, the bottom part of them, just about the bottom half, I'll say, is made out of 3/4 inch. And then they use a reducer, and then they go on up the rest of the way with 1/2 inch copper, if you wanted to do it that way. I think the least expensive way would be what Dave was talking about, the 450 ohm ladder line. That makes sense, too. You get rid of a lot of the mass and the diameter for wind on this, something that long. But yeah, I think I do have enough 450 ohm ladder line that I could probably get one out of it. I'll have to, like I said, I wasn't even looking at measurements last night. I'll have to double check the measurements and I could probably fashion one out of that.
Measure it, you don't have enough, holler at me, shoot me an email or whatever,
And I've got some there at town, so I can mail it over there to you if you need it.
The offer, yeah, I think I've probably got, I don't know, 15 or 20 foot left, so should be able to get one out of it. I bought a remnant of a roll at one time, and hadn't used a ton of it, so I think I've still got a pretty good bit left.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that out before I get started up the mountain up here. I'm up here in Marietta, headed on up to the repeater site, so I'll let you go. You have a wonderful day. Enjoy the beautiful sunshine. And like I said, if you don't have enough of that ladder line, holler at me and I'll send you some, and that won't be a problem.
Enjoy your outing up there, and we'll catch y'all a little later. 73s, and I'll be clear, KI4DHY.
KI4DOS, mobile clear.